Amen. I'm glad I don't serve a dead savior, don't you? Amen. If you want your Bibles tonight, turn to Romans chapter. Let's turn to Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. Here's a thank you note from the James family. Just thank you for your prayers. And over the past several weeks, the homegoing of my dad and my daughter's illness, thank you also for the beautiful plant. And God has given us a tremendous church family, and we're so thankful. Phil, Rachel, Abby, and Eddie. So we're thankful for y'all as well, praying for y'all. As we think about the faith of Abraham, Abraham's faith, and we, a couple weeks ago, preached on his steps of his faith and how that faith grows. And as we take one step, as we take another step, as we go through small trials, we go through big trials, that God grows our faith. And God did this in Abraham's life, and much in the same way as Brother Stewart was talking about how he worked in the lives of those who wrote the Bible and prepared them, so God prepared Abraham to be the father of the Jewish nation. By the way, Abraham wasn't born a Jew, became a Jew. And I don't know if I've mentioned that lately, but anyway, look at Romans chapter 4. I think what I want to do tonight is do a little Roman commentary of Romans chapter 4 and talk about faith and what it is. And we know from Hebrews 11 that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. That faith is not just blind. Faith is based upon biblical facts. Amen? You don't just it's not blind. It's based upon truth. And so faith. By the way, the word faith or faithful is found 350 times in the Bible. 350 times. Romans chapter 4. Let's read my text verse tonight is Romans chapter 4, verse 20. Let's read that, and then we're going to go back to the first of Romans chapter 4 and go through it. Speaking of Abraham, he says, Paul talks about, he staggered not, that's Abraham, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Abraham was strong in faith, giving glory to God. The New Testament tells us that the Old Testament was written primarily for New Testament saints. And the Old Testament, the writers of the New Testament wrote in light of that you already know your Old Testament, that the Old Testament was written for our example and for our learning. And Abraham is there for our learning. Abraham is there for our example. And he is a wonderful example of faith. And so let's look at that again tonight. In Romans chapter 4, after we pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we do thank you for the life of Abraham and the example of faith that he was. Lord, may we, Lord, see that faith and practice as Abraham lived. We thank you and we love you in Jesus' name. Amen. Look at chapter 4. By the way, talking about eternal security. Eternal security. We believe that when you get saved, you're always saved. We believe the Bible teaches that when you get saved, you cannot lose your salvation. The Bible's very clear. John chapter 10 says, no man can pluck us out of the Father's hand. The Bible makes it very clear that my sheep hear my voice. And once you get saved, you're always saved. You can't deny it and become unsaved. It can't be taken away from you because you sin. By the way, we all sin. And so if you are really saved, if you accepted Christ as your Savior, you cannot lose it. Now, we can use John chapter 10 and many other verses to prove that, but one of the greatest ways in which to teach eternal security is from Romans chapter 4 and chapter 5, which Paul is speaking here about imputed righteousness, that righteousness that is given to us by way of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, that we receive the righteousness of Christ. And so look here, it gives two examples, one of David and one of Abraham. Look at verse 1, chapter 4. What shall we say then that Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found? For if Abraham was justified, right? Justified, his sins forgiven, just as if I'd never sinned. If Abraham was justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. In other words, if he got saved by his works, then he could say, look what I did. Not before God, but before man. All our righteousness, the Bible says, are as filthy rags before God. For what saith the scripture, verse 3? Abraham believed God. He trusted God. And it was counted unto him for righteousness. And we already went back and talked about the promise that was given to Abraham in Genesis chapter 12. In Genesis 12, God came to Abraham. We know that from Acts chapter 7. The Bible says that God appeared unto Abraham in the Ur of the Chaldees. That God appeared to him and talked to him and promised him that through him, the Messiah would come. Through him, the Savior would come. Galatians chapter 3 makes it very clear. Paul says that when Jesus appeared to him in the Old Testament, that the gospel was given to him. The gospel. What is the gospel? The death, burial, and resurrection. So if you follow, again, the cross references that Brother Stewart loves to talk about, which is amazing, the Bible does interpret itself, then you find very clearly that Abraham believed God, he trusted God, the promise that he, his future generations, his future seed, would indeed be the remedy for all mankind's sin. That through him, the Messiah would come. Through him, one would come who would take away the sins of the world, who would die for their sins. And so Abraham, the Bible says, he believed that promise. He trusted in God in that promise, and it was counted, reckoned unto him for righteousness. He was then, therefore, he received that righteousness which is of God. Now look at verse 4. To him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. In other words, if you feel like you can work your way to heaven, go right ahead. But you're just putting yourself in debt. You're not getting on positive ground there. But to him that worketh not, verse 5, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, talking about Jesus Christ, his faith is counted for righteousness. Amen. Thank the Lord. I'm glad that salvation is by grace through faith, and that not of myself. It's a gift of God, not a works that any man should boast. David, verse 6, even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works. Amen. A reference to the Old Testament Psalm 32. Again, aren't you thankful that God, once you're saved, God does not reckon sin to your account? My sins have been forgiven, past, present, and future. I received the righteousness of Christ. I received the sinless record of Jesus Christ when I got saved. My standing before God is thus standing in Christ. Hello? Yeah. My position before God is a position in that I am standing in Christ. Right. And again, it's hard to conceive this, but understand that when God looks down upon a born-again Christian, he does not see the sinful record of that born-again Christian. Right. He sees the sinless perfection of Jesus Christ. Amen. He sees Christ's law fulfilling life. Yes, my legal standing before God is thus perfect. Practically, I'm a sinner. Positionally, I'm not. My state is a sinner. I'm a sinner. Sinner saved by grace. Amen. That's my state here on earth. But my standing before God is perfect because I've been justified by the Lord. David was described the same thing as he uses David as an example. Even as David, verse 6, also describeth the blessedness of the man of whom God imputeth righteousness without works, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Oh, man, aren't you amazed? I'm amazed. When I was a kid, we had a youth rally, big youth rally. And this is before, the thing I got, because my dad and mom, when I was small, were involved in the youth department, I got to attend a lot of the youth rallies. I can remember riding on a bus to a youth rally, sitting on the steps, right by the door. You could do that. And it wasn't even frowned upon. It's like, if it falls out, it'll be all right. We got two more. But I remember we had this youth rally at church, and I was younger. I wasn't in the youth department yet, but it was in those, like Brother Stewart was talking about, the 16-millimeter reel. And in that film, very unbiblical at this point, when they got to heaven, there was a computer screen. And on that computer screen, they brought up the sins of the individuals and so forth. And I just remember that it impacted me as a kid. And I think, well, I don't think that's the way it's going to be. And can I tell you, biblically, it's not going to be that way. Amen. When I get to heaven, I'm not going to give an account for my sins. They're forgiven. I've been given account for my works. Whether they be good or bad, but not my sin. David talks about the blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Verse 9, cometh this blessedness then upon the circumcision only, or upon the uncircumcision? Did it come upon the Gentile only, or the Jew only? For we say that faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness. Counted, reckoned. How was it then reckoned? When he was in circumcision? Or uncircumcision? Not in circumcision, but in uncircumcision. In other words, he's saying, oh man, this will offend a lot of Jews, but understand, before Abraham became a Jew, he got saved. That's what it's saying. Righteousness was given to him, imputed to him, and Genesis chapter 12, before Genesis 17 happened, before the covenant of circumcision happened. Before Abraham became a Jew, he got saved. He believed in the promises of God. Verse 11 says, and he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith, which he had yet been being uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all them that believe. Did it say all the Jews? Did it say he made me the father of all the Jews? Is that what it says? No. It says the father of all them that believe, though they be not circumcised, though they be not a Jew. Father Abraham had many sons. I remember somebody coming to me one time saying, that song has no biblical basis. Why don't we sing that song? Why don't the kids sing that song? Yeah, right there. It's going to say it again here in a minute. Right there. No, Abraham's the father of us all. If you're a saved individual, if you know Jesus Christ, your Savior, Abraham is your spiritual father. And he received that seal. Believe, all those who believe. He might be the father of all them that believe, though they be not circumcised, that righteousness might be imputed unto them also. Aren't you thankful for that? Not just to the Jew, but to the Gentile. And the father of circumcision to them who are not of the circumcision only, but who also walk in the steps of that faith of our father Abraham, which he had being yet uncircumcised. I'm glad I have that faith. The faith that Abraham had before the rite of circumcision. That faith in the promise of the Messiah to come. Again, I know you've heard this 1,000 times, some of you, but we have new Christians in the room. Remember that the Old Testament saints believed in the future Messiah, and they believed in the future Messiah who would come and take away their sins, and that's what saved them, believing in the future Messiah who would hang on a cross and die, be buried, and rise again from the dead. We, as New Testament saints, look back on the event. We look back on the cross and believing that Jesus Christ lived, died, and rose again, and that's how we are rescued from our sins. That's how we are saved, by believing and trusting in him. The father of circumcision to them who are not of the circumcision only, but also to them walk in the steps of the faith of the father Abraham, who being yet uncircumcised. Verse 13, for the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law. In other words, it wasn't going to be accomplished through the Mosaic law, through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. Not by works, by faith. The Mosaic law wasn't around yet, but anyway. For if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void. You just might as well tear the check up. Might as well just take the promissory note and just... And the promise made of none effect. Again, just take the promissory note and rip it apart. It's no good. It's been void. For if that which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void, and the promise is made of none effect, because the law worketh wrath. For where no law is, there is no transgression. Paul said, if I hadn't known the law, I wouldn't know what sin is. The law is what entered in to be our schoolmaster that brings us to Christ. The law shows us our need for a Savior. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace. To the end, the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us. Say it. All. So I guess a little children's song, Father Abraham, does have some biblical basis. Right hand, left hand, right foot, left. Father, right? Archer, you got it? Nod your head. Turn around. Sit down. Father of us all. 17. As is written, I have made thee a father of many nations. Not just the Jewish nation. Not just the Arab nation through Ishmael, but of many nations. Before him whom he believed, even God who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were, who against hope believed in hope. Right? Against hope. He was past the age of having children. He was past it. Against hope. Believed in hope. Believed in the promise. That he might become the father of many nations. According to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed, singular, be. Seed be. Galatians tells us that seed is Christ. And being not weak in faith. Look at verse 19. Kind of goes with our subject tonight. And being not weak in faith, he considered his own body now dead, unable to have children, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. She was past the age of having children. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. You understand that the birth of Isaac was a miracle. That the birth of Isaac, humanly speaking, should never have happened. That it was a miracle of God that here is a couple of 100 years old and yet having a child. Why? But notice what it says. It says that he staggered not at the promise, knowing that Sarah's womb was dead, knowing that he was past the age of having children. He staggered not at the promises of God. Many of us would say, well, that's, God, that's unreasonable. God, you're asking me to, you're promising me something that can't happen. You ever been there? You've never, ever, some of you guys are so sanctimonious. Never questioned God? Maybe you haven't. Abraham didn't. Isn't that amazing? He believed. Word believe means to what? Trust. He trusted in him. He trusted in the Lord. He staggered not the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, verse 20, 21, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. Can I tell you that God can do anything? Nothing is impossible, the Bible says, to him. All things are possible. I don't know what you may be facing tonight, what you may be going through, but can I tell you that God's promised some things to you? He's promised to never leave you nor forsake you. Well, preacher, that's impossible. You know, if my husband leaves to go to Dollar General to get some ding-dongs, he's no longer there. How can someone say they'll never leave you nor forsake you and be there all the time? It's impossible. I mean, sometimes as a husband, you just need a break.
Morning.
Hello. Maybe I should have started the other way, because it's definitely more so the other way than absolutely. the wife needs a break. I don't know that she would go to Dollar General like I would, but you understand that God's not like us. You understand that God can be at the house and at Dollar General at the same time. God is everywhere present. I mean, He's everywhere at the same time. And when He says He promises never leave you nor forsake you, and it's hard for our finite minds to truly comprehend that, can I tell you that He is there with you right now? And when you get up in the morning and you go to work, He's going to be with you. And when He's there all day long, by the way, kind of scary a little bit too to think about that God's always there with you. You might have kind of be careful what you say, what you do. Yeah, He says He knows the thoughts and intents of your heart. But just a reminder that those promises, He staggered not the promises of God. Now it was written for His sake alone. He was not written for His sake alone that it was imputed to Him. But I missed a verse there. Look back at verse 21. We'll go back. And being fully persuaded that what He had promised, He was able to also to perform. Verse 22. And therefore it was imputed to Him for righteousness. The word imputed means to be in and surrounded by. That's why I kind of think of a balloon. Again, the theme of the book of Ephesians is in Christ. You can look that up in Ephesians. Every time you see the phrase in Christ, circle it. In Christ. We are in Christ Jesus. And so, again, we have been placed in Christ. If you think about a balloon, you know, I don't know how. It's hard to describe being inside of a balloon. We are in Christ. When God looks down from heaven, He sees Christ. He doesn't see my sinful condition. He didn't see my sinful record. It's amazing. Promise He was able to perform, and therefore it was imputed to Him for righteousness. Now it was not written for His sake alone that it was imputed to Him, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on Him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. You want the imputation of righteousness, the righteousness of Christ? Believe on Him. It's pretty specific there. Believe on Him that raised up Jesus, our Lord, from the dead. Believe on the Lord. Believe Him. Trust in Him, who was delivered for our offenses. The Christ who was delivered for our offenses. Christ who died for our sins, our offenses, and was raised again for our what? Justification, that our sin, justified, just as if I'd never sinned, justified, my sinful record erased. It's squeaking on the chalkboard. You didn't get that one? Somebody did? It's erased. And Christ's sinless record put in its place. Now get this a little bit. That is all received, according to Paul, that Abraham received that righteousness by faith, not by his works. Now, his works were important before man, and that's covered in the book of 1 John. It is important. It's recorded in James, too. Faith without works is dead, right? But that's before man. Our testimony is important, right? We should live a holy life. But let me tell you, we don't live a holy life to get to heaven. We don't serve the Lord to get to heaven. You don't teach a Sunday school class to get to heaven. You don't come out for soul winning to get to heaven. By the way, you don't come out to soul winning and teach Sunday school and do all those things either to receive God's acceptance. He loves you no matter what. Amen. He is not Zeus in heaven going to strike you down when you do something wrong. Now you reap what you sow, but He's not Zeus. He loves you. He wants the best possible good for you. And of course He will chastise those who go wayward, just as we would chastise our children. In fact, if you're not chastened by the Lord when you sin, probably not saved. Because one of the evidences of salvation is the chastening of the Lord. What a life Abraham lived. a life found in Christ Jesus because he believed in the promise of God. Even though he's past the age of having children, it says he didn't even pause. He didn't stagger at it at all. He just believed. And God counted it to him for righteousness. Then it describes Abraham's faith as what? Strong faith. Lord, may you give us strong faith. Increase our faith. We need that kind of faith, the faith of Abraham. That faith of Abraham and that righteous record fulfilled by the promise of God cannot be taken away. I'm thankful that I can lay my head down tonight, and then though I may not have lived as I should have that day, I know that I'm saved, and I can lay down my head tonight knowing that if I were to die in my sleep, I'd go to heaven. Though my heart may not be full of sin, I know God. I believe the promise of God. Amen? Amen. Again, sin breaks fellowship with God when you are a Christian. But it doesn't kick you out of the family because you've been adopted in the family of God. It's not a license to sin either. You reap what you sow and the Lord will chasten you. But it's not predicated upon your salvation. What an amazing faith Abraham had. Let's all stand. A verse invitation tonight. Abraham's faith. Abraham's faith.